So to the committee, we've heard from Ms. Kelty, we've had an overview of laws in other states that seem to be really all over the place, and we've heard that this is a very difficult issue to balance. Are there thoughts from committee members as to how you would like to proceed? And what I'm asking is, would you want to do something now as a committee, or would you like to see how the changes in the statute that became effective on October 18th play out and then revisit the issue if we still see an existing problem? So I would open that up to all committee members. Chris.
Thank you. So I'll just say up front, this is not a topic that I supported us taking on for two reasons. First, given the change in the law regarding the hourly fee waiver, I think I'm interested to see what effect, if any, that has in terms of this issue. But the other reason is that, you know, we have talked about this, and it's such a complex issue. Certainly any good lawyer can always make the case that something is in the public interest, even if it relates to private litigation. And there's so much tension in the law, you know, in terms of our law. It's open to anyone, not only in Maine, not only in the United States, but literally worldwide. We have no distinctions for commercial requests, and that was one thing that stood out to me, at least with some of the statutes from other states that we looked at. Some seem to try to address that in some way, the commercial requests. There's no real distinction, or that I saw anyway, certainly not in our law, that would enable us to be able to say, okay, the press, you know, that absolutely any member of the press, you know, there should be some sort of waiver or some sort of, you know, increase in the amount of waiver that would be or a limit on the charge that would be made. But, you know, anyone can be a journalist now if you have a, you know, an online social media account and make the case that, well, I'm sharing this with my followers, so this is, you know, newsworthy. And but so it's undoubtedly it's a complex issue. I guess what I'm wondering is, for those who did say they're interested in this, talking about this issue, I'm interested to hear why. And I say that very innocently, in that I'm thinking about the fact that now we have in the law, which I think was a great change, based on Maine Municipal's information anyway, you know, two free hours of staff time, you know, I think they say that was $26 per hour that on average that they, that as far as staff time. So we have, you know, 2 hours of staff time now. And, you know, for me, I'm trying to think, you know, and I say this because we get at DPS very broad requests. But I'm trying to think, you know, what is the waiver, what kind of request is the waiver trying to address or enable? Is it those broad requests? Or because if it's, you know, if requests are taking less than 2 hours, that's free staff time. So anyway, those are kind of my thoughts in a rambling way, and I'd be interested to hear what others' thoughts are about this issue.
Thank you, Vicki. And then I saw hand Judy.
I appreciate your words, Chris. For us, it was our concern a couple of years ago were the ones where they requested literally everything from a school district. And it was, and they weren't clear at all what they were looking for. So, and that can cause, as you point out, an estimated hours of staff time, especially in districts if they don't have someone to do that. So I think this is reasonable, and we should see how it works. And if it does make a good, a positive difference in requests that seem to be more than, and I use quotation marks, nuisance request, and those that are very legitimate, and there are those that are very legitimate, but we just need to, we need to see if it changes the tenor of the requests. And I think that it will. So I'm supportive.
You're supportive in seeing how the new law works. Thank you. Judy, you had a hand up.
Sure. I'm also supportive in seeing how it works, even though I was voted in, against it last year. But, and I'm optimistic that it will reduce the fees. My concern with the, and this has always been a concern with me, when you ask for a fee waiver, because the statute allows consideration of a fee waiver, and it is so clear that certain state agencies don't provide that consideration at all. And I think if you're denied a fee waiver, with it, which if it's a legitimate request for a fee waiver for the reasons set forth in statute, you ought to be given a reason why no. The agency doesn't consider it in a public interest. You're not indigent. It's going to take us 72 staff hours to do this. So that there is an a possibility for that person to then appeal, because you just can't appeal a flat-up no without the reasoning behind it. And sometimes that, to Brenda's point about being able to negotiate the scope, if you if the requester understands why they're being denied, it opens the door to further discussion rather than slamming the door shut, which is what happens now when there's no consideration. And I am seeing that, and I've been a journalist for 30 years. Fee waivers used to be the norm, and that is really reversed in the last, I would say, 6 or 7 years. So more fee waivers are being denied, and there's no explanation provided to the requester. I think the requester that Brenda mentioned, this survey group or this, you know, gotcha company, should not enter into this discussion. I think we really are looking at legitimate request or a need for public records. I would also say, in my experience, in the small towns, they're more apt to waive fees in the teeniest, tiniest towns than in state agencies, which I find very neighborly, and I hope that doesn't change. But you had asked a question, Representative, about if Brenda was aware of any lawsuits on the fee waiver question. And I would just guess, and I'm not a lawyer, but if you are denied a fee waiver, you're coming there because you can't afford it or don't want to pay for it. If, why then would you go hire a lawyer and file an appeal in Superior Court if you don't have the money? What happens is people just go away and they don't get their documents. And we don't have any data on that. But I have spoken to plenty of people who have said, you know, I went to the state agency or I went to the county and they I just can't afford this. What can you do to help? And there's really not much you can do unless the agencies are willing to work with these requesters or at least explain themselves. I think it's the transparent thing to do. So I would like to see us look at language to be included in the initial receipt at the 5-day point if the waiver's been requested, the rationale for the no.
Either by perhaps pointing to the individual sections of the statute that you think the material is exempt, or are you focusing simply on the waiver?
Just on the waiver. And I only feel so strongly about this because the statute includes the option. And if the option is denied, there should be a publicly released reason why to the requester, rather than just no, because I don't like you, or no, you know, I don't think that's in the public interest, which I probably everybody in this room would define differently. But to just leave it as a no without providing an understanding, I don't think is good.
Thank you. Will you? And if this is, I don't mean to put you on the spot since I have a tough time remembering 2 years ago, but we did have language suggested that did some of what you're asking, which was to provide the reason for the denial. You know, I read that and I'm wondering what exactly that does. If it, you know, does it give more appeal rights? But you're saying at least it tells a requester, here is why we made this decision. I'm not sure that puts him in a better posture to sue the agency,
It may not, but it provides greater understanding to the workings of government, which I think should always be the goal. And it does open the door to further discussions, like suddenly a light bulb goes on. Oh, gosh, I didn't know it was going to take 100 people to do this. Let's work this out. And I think that would be better for both sides.
Thank you. Eric.
So I'd like to amplify what Judy is just saying about the plain reading of the existing law, which says waiver B. The agency or official considers release of the public record request to be in the public interest because of doing so is likely to contribute significantly to public understanding of operations or activities of government. That's a good thing, to have transparency governed. That's really foundational to what FOA is all about. But then how do you reconcile that with the point that Brenda made a few minutes ago about agencies being consistent, not being capricious or show favoritism? So how do you be consistent and yet apply this? So if agencies fall on the side of being consistent, then they're going to always deny. And always denying means that they are therefore ignoring what was just read. So how do you reconcile those two things? But clearly it says, you know, that the intent is to be the public interest contributes significantly to public understanding operations of government. But how do you do that if you're consistently always never having a waiver? And so both of the fairness is a good thing, and what was just read is a good thing. And I see that there's a conflict in trying to reconcile those two.
Other committee members? Looking first at folks that are here and then turn to those participating remotely. I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm always asking to be corrected, but the sense I'm getting from the discussion we're having is that this is still an area of concern to some members of the, to some members of the committee, more so than to others. But I'm also hearing that we've made, I'm not going to say a seismic change in the law recently, but we did make a change regarding an expansion of free time that hopefully will lessen the concern that's being raised here. So I'm not hearing a great sentiment to do something at this point other than to see how the changes that we made to subsection 8 of this section play out over time. Am I missing something? I think I'm missing something because Peggy is sending me something in the chat. And that both Linda, Amy, and Jim have their hand up? Excellent. Do they have their blue hand or their real hand? They do? Then I should have that participant box open, shouldn't I? My apologies. I'll take them in the order that they appear on my participant list, and starting with Linda Cohen from the town of Monmouth.
Thank you, Tom. I would like to see the recently enacted changes allowed to go for a little bit and see how that plays out. I think that Brenda made a good point earlier when she said that basically, I mean, we've gone to 2 hours of free time. Most of those requests now are going to be free. And I don't like to just keep tweaking a law over and over and over again without giving recent changes to it an opportunity to see how they play out. That's where I am.
Thank you. And I apologize for my operator error. I now see the hands and will no longer need Peggy to chide me to pay more attention. Thank you, Linda. Jim.